This is James Moore, pastor of New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri, praying this audio message will be a blessing to you. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
You know, there was a mother, she went to wake her son up for church. She knocked on the door and she said, "It's time for church." And he said, "I'm not going today." She said, "Well, give me two reasons." He said, "Well," he said, "they don't like me there, and I don't like them." And she said, "Well, let me give you two reasons why you're going to go." She said, "You're a 47-year-old man, for one, and second, you're the pastor." We're going to talk today about the life of Moses, okay? This is a difficult subject because you can't talk about Moses without talking about Israel. They go hand in hand. And anybody who preaches on Israel is going to also preach about Moses because they go hand in hand. So we're just going to start off with some points there. Did you know that Moses is mentioned more often in the New Testament than any other Old Testament character? In Exodus 2:3, we find out that Moses was the first abandoned child mentioned in the Bible. We know that Moses came from a family of faith. During the time when Moses was born, Pharaoh had passed a decree to kill all the babies. And Moses' mom and dad had a choice. They could either allow Moses to die, or they could follow God and try to save him, which they did, by the way. And if you know, she put him in a basket and that whole thing there. Did you know Moses was a murderer? We know in Exodus 2:15, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. We know that Moses worked as a shepherd for 40 years. When he went to Midian, he met a family of sisters at the well. He ended up marrying one of them and working for their dad. Whole new lifestyle. Kind of interesting to go from one extreme to another. We know that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush at the age of 40. And we know that Moses was the original snake handler in the Bible. And we know that Moses was used to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. We know that Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. These are probably the two most prominent things why we know that Moses is in the Hall of Faith. 10 plagues that he went before Pharaoh and had the faith to believe when God told him, "I'm going to do this, you go tell him," and he did it every time. And when Israel was up against the Red Sea, here come the Egyptians ready to slaughter him. And Moses is saying, "Hey, have faith. God will spare us." And God did. He opened up the Red Sea. They passed in on dry ground. When the Egyptians came, they flooded them and killed all of them. Extreme amount of faith to believe these things, you know. I mean, turning all the water to blood. Oh, you're going to get inundated with flies, gnats. You know, all your firstborn are going to die. I mean, can you imagine? He's got to believe every time he went to Pharaoh that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. So that's why he's in the Hall of Faith. We know that Moses saw God. In Numbers 12, 7 and 8, it says, God says, "With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord." We know that Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. How much time do you think he spent with God when he was writing these books? How much time do you think Moses spent in prayer to be able to hear what God was saying and to follow through with it? We know that Moses was extraordinarily humble. And I have to tell you a little joke about this. In Numbers 12:3, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. When pastors and I were sharing about that, they started laughing and said, yeah, he's the one that wrote the book. You know, yeah, but you know, he was following God's deal there, you know. But, and we know that Moses lived to be 120 years old. Did you know that Moses was a man of failures? He was a man of excuses. Along with all this greatness, he failed. And he had nothing but excuses along the way. And that's fact. Kind of like us a little bit. We know that Moses had good intentions. In Exodus 2:12. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. Now you have to understand, the first 40 years of Moses' life being raised in an Egyptian household, you have to understand somewhere along the way, God started moving him toward the Jewish people. Somehow or another, some way in all that, he started having a heart for the Jewish people. And so he sees a fellow Jewish person being mistreated, and he stepped in to do something about it. He fought for the man's dignity and for his freedom. He was doing the right thing, but he was getting in front of God. And he was doing the right thing because he was trying to help the Jewish people, but he was trying to do it in his own power and his own strength and his own wisdom. God was going to deliver the Egyptian people, but it wasn't going to be with Moses' strength and wisdom. It was going to be with God's power and God's strength. So before I ask you this question, I want to tell you, this morning, you need to be honest with yourself, okay? You got to be honest with yourself when we start getting into this, because there's things here that affects every man and woman in here. It only works, though, if you're truly honest with yourself. The person sitting next to you, your wife, your children, they don't know you personally. They don't know the real you deep down in, but you do. And God does. So this morning, when we're being challenged with these things, put that in perspective. Be honest with yourself. So the first question I want to ask you is right from the start, are you guilty of trying to do godly things in your own power this morning? Or do you rely on the power and strength of God's wisdom to help you get things done? Okay? Only you know the answer to that. You know what you've been doing in your life up to now, walking with Jesus. You know, I accepted the Lord in 1979. And I, as a man, as most men, we have a lot of pride and we have a lot of arrogance sometimes. Some of us have a larger portion of pride. My daughter's laughing. But, you know, so I accepted the Lord in 1979. But my whole life, I've been doing everything in Ed McNeil's strength and Ed McNeil's power and Ed McNeil's wisdom. Can you imagine that? That is almost scary even thinking about that. So when I accepted the Lord in 1979, I was 30 years old. And guess how I was trying to serve God? In my own strength and in my own power and my own wisdom and understanding, which was terribly flawed at the time. And so my wife and I came to a place in our marriage where we had to make a really strong decision about what we were going to do in a dream that was coming true for me. And people in this church that were here at that time prayed for us. But as God would have it, or I shouldn't say that, as Ed McNeil would have it, the only answer God would ever give me was not yes or no, but your priorities are not right. And you're going to find out how much God, Moses, and I parallel each other, because you're going to see in a little bit how Moses got angry at God and how Moses was frustrated. And that's what happened with me. I became frustrated with God And I left here on a Sunday night, and I dealt with my frustration by sinning and buying legal over-the-counter pills. Because you see, I used to be a drug addict, okay? And God delivered me from that. And the second time God delivered me from that, He made it known in a very verbal voice, just like I'm talking to you. If you ever do drugs again, you're going to die. I left here on a Sunday night going to Pennsylvania. I was mad at the answer God was giving me. And I stopped and bought a whole bunch of legal pills. You see, I knew what it took to get high and do it legally. But for years, I lived with the thing that if you ever do anything with drugs, you're going to die from it. But I was so upset and so irritated with God, I didn't care. And I took off, and long story short, on Thursday of that week, I had an aneurysm, which caused a stroke and totally paralyzed me, and I was in a truck for 5 days before somebody found me. And in that 5 days, God and I went over everything in my life, everything. And God gave me a choice. Just like He did Moses' parents. You can do what you want to do, or you can do what I want you to do. When I was in that truck, I was in a fog, kind of laid out flat. And I was sort of laying on top of the fog, and everything was pretty good. And when God started asking me about different things in my life, and He'd give me a choice, do you want to keep this, or do you want to give this to me? And I'd say, I'll keep it. And every time I said I would keep it, I sunk down a little farther in the fog. The more that I decided to keep, the lower I sank in the fog till I came to a point where just my face was sticking up out of the fog. And that's when I realized that I was probably going to die. And I didn't want to die in that truck. I started crying out to God. Don't let me die here. Not here where nobody would know. Then God said, okay, what about this? Are you willing to give this to me? And I said, yeah. And God raised me up a little bit. And everything after that I gave to God. And God put me back up here above the fog. And guess what? After 5 days, I was all but dead. I was still breathing. God spared my life. Now, there's some serious ramifications going on here about what was really going on, and we'll get to this in a little bit. But even after Moses' failure, we see that God called on Moses' life. Even after Ed McNeil's failure, we see that God had a calling for me on my life, okay? Everybody needs to get this, because you're going to see that our callings are higher than our failures. We see that in Exodus 3:11, we find out about the meeting between God and Moses at the burning bush, okay? And Moses said to God, Moses did nothing but give excuses to God. His first excuse in 3:11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I'm not good enough. That's how he felt. And we see in his next excuse, in 3:13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? I don't have all the answers. Now, wait a minute. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. He had all the advantages to learn and cultivate in his intellect. He must have been well-read. He must have been an educated man. And he questioned his abilities, whether he would be able to give them the answers. And he missed the point that the call wasn't about him. It was about God. God wasn't talking to him about him. God's talking to him about going and doing what God wants him to do. And the answer to that question, though, was God told him in a few verses later, you're to tell them that I am who I am and that the I am has sent you. And we go to the next excuse, Exodus 4:1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'? The people won't believe me." How often have you felt like that when you were witness to somebody? They're not going to believe what I got to say? I think we've all felt that way at one time or another when we were trying to tell somebody about Jesus. So God equipped him. He said, "Here, take this staff I got. I'm going to give it to you." He said, "Throw it down on the ground." And when he did, it turned into a snake, and the Bible says Moses ran from it. You're talking about God's humor this morning. I bet he was hilariously laughing at that when he threw that stick down and it turned into a snake and Moses ran from it. And God told Moses, just pick it up by the tail and it'll turn back into a staff, which he did. But he also gave him a pretty unique thing with his hand. He said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he did. He said, "Pull it out." And when he did, his hand was leprous. He said, "Put it back inside your cloak. Pull it out now." When he pulled it back out, it was normal. That was another tool that God equipped him with to be able to convince Israel that God had sent him. Let me tell you, God doesn't send you anywhere on any field to do anything unless he equips you to go. You may not feel equipped, but he gave you the tools to go and do the job, or he wouldn't be sending you. In Exodus 4:10, 11, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" He was complaining about how he talked. Now we know, if you've read Moses, that God allowed Aaron, his brother, to come alongside him to help him. But Aaron was a helper. Moses was still the man. So Moses still had to speak. I don't believe that Moses went before Pharaoh every time and let Aaron speak to Pharaoh. I know there was a couple times that Aaron spoke. But I'm sure Moses was talking too, okay? I'm a terrible speaker. Then we see another one here, the last one, in Moses is Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. I'm not qualified." Moses was still missing the fact it wasn't about Moses, it was about God. How guilty are we of having that confession in our life? It's still about me, me, me. You know, we get so confused with this. It ain't about us. It's about God. D.L. Moody said, "Moses spent his first 40 years thinking he was somebody. He spent his second 40 years learning he was nobody. And he spent his third 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody." I challenge you right now this morning to personalize that. Ed McNeil spent the first 30 years of his life thinking he was somebody. I thought I was pretty hot stuff. You know what I'm saying? Then I accepted Jesus, and I found out the next 30 years I wasn't so hot after all. You know, I mean, I was nothing. And now I spent working on the next 30 years, 20 of those years, working on 20 of those years, finding out that God can use a nobody. So personalize that for you, your life. And when you accepted the Lord, what have you done? What can you do? What's your abilities? You think you don't have any? Do you think I ever thought I'd be standing here speaking to you in my whole entire life? Not ever. But God has equipped all of us with abilities we don't even know about because we don't give God a chance that he can allow us to use them. I'm going to give you another little story. I had an Uncle Bill, and he was married, and his wife passed away, and You know how when somebody's been married a long time and one of them died and the other one dies shortly thereafter, you know, y'all have heard these stories and stuff. Well, after Uncle Bill's wife passed away, Uncle Bill's health got real bad and he started dying. His children were all Christians, and they lived fairly close to me at the time, and I was stopping by and seeing them occasionally, you know, and his son called me one day and said, look, he said, Dad won't even let us talk about Jesus in the house. He said, would you go talk to him? So I started just stopping by, not talking about Jesus, just showing up more regular through the week, being more part of what was going on there. And if y'all know me, one thing about me is I got a heart to pray. And one day when I got ready to leave, I just got up and walked over to Uncle Bill. And I put my hand on him and I said, I want to pray for you. I didn't ask him. I just went over and said, I'm going to pray for you. And I prayed for him. And every time I went and saw that man after that, I prayed for him before I left. And his son called me one day. He said, you have no idea. He said, what's happening in my dad's life? Now, that's just being obedient to God, but there's a little bit more here. You see, Uncle Bill got bad and went in the hospital. And I went down one day to see him. And I'm on the elevator going up about the fifth floor. And God said to me in no uncertain terms, I want you to tell him about my son Jesus today. And I'm going, really? Me tell Uncle Bill? Oh, no, not me. I can't do that. I'm not the person. It should be his son leading him to the Lord, even if he would listen. And I don't have all the answers. What if I tell him about it and he asks me stuff I can't answer and I don't know? What am I supposed to do then? He won't believe me then. And I'm not qualified, Lord, not me. Don't send me. Well, while this conversation was going on, I missed the floor. So now I'm up at the eighth floor and everybody gets off and I push in the fifth floor. And on the way back down, God goes, do not leave his room unless you offer my son Jesus Christ to him in salvation. You know when God tells you do not, you best do what he's telling you. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Long story short, I led Uncle Bill to the Lord that day. He accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and he died 2 days later. Hallelujah. Excuses. I'm not any different. I'm just like Moses. I got excuses. These same excuses I just read about him were about me. What about you? Are you being honest with yourself this morning? Like I said, nobody around you really knows you. They don't know what you really are all about. Do you use excuses when God talks to you? Let's talk about Israel a minute. Because you see, Israel's like us. A bunch of whiners and a bunch of complainers. Everybody in this room right here is guilty of whining and complaining. Guarantee you. If you ask your spouse, she's going to say, yeah, all he does is whine and complain. And he's going to say the same thing about you, right? Here's a list of complaints. Moses has led Israel, getting ready to lead him out of Egypt. And the people started complaining to Moses that because of him and his talk of a promised land, Pharaoh made things worse for them. We find out in Exodus 5:9 that now he made them go out and get their own straw and increase the workload on them. So they weren't happy at all. Then they complained and told Moses life was better in slavery. Have you felt like that after you accepted Jesus in your life? That life was better before you got back because things got all complicated and it's all Jesus' fault? Yeah, I felt that way. The people complained about the taste of the water. They complained about being hungry. They said it was better to sit around the fire and have food in a pot and be a slave than be out there eating God's manna. They complained about being thirsty. Not once, but a couple times. The people complained about God's goodness and chose to worship a golden calf. Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments. Aaron decides to do whatever he's doing, and up pops his calf out of the gold, and they're all bowing down to it. Wonderful. What have you bowed down to as a Christian when you should have been bowing down to Jesus, but you found something else that at the time seemed to take care of the needs, whatever that needs were? They complained about eating the same food over and over. You get bored with the food that you've been provided at your house? You bored with the food your wife fixes all the time? This is gross. We got so many people around the world that don't have any food, but here we got everything, and we're bored with what we get to eat all the time. So I can kind of relate to that a little bit. Moses' own brother and sister complained to him about the way he was leading the people. You don't know what you're doing, dude. You need to get this right. Yeah, well, God struck Miriam with leprosy. And Aaron begged Moses to pray to God to save her. And he did. You know, our own family complains about us sometimes. Pastors, family, you're trying to witness to your family and they're complaining, you know, get this guy out of here. I don't want to hear this anymore, you know. I mean, they're running wild. They don't want to hear it. The people complain about how difficult it looked to conquer the giants in the promised land. Do you relate to that? There's some things that you're supposed to conquer in your life, but it looks difficult and you're afraid to even take the first step and ask God to help you. And guess what? They didn't go. They chose not to go. When God said, go, possess it, take it. And they complained about their situation and wanted to kill Moses. How many times do we hear about churches that are split and the people are complaining about the pastor? This is going on, that going on, instead of trusting God. When God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, he also intended to bring them into a promised land flowing with blessings and prosperity. Stop right there. That's what salvation's about. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, no, it ain't easy. Your life wasn't easy before Christ. It's not going to be easy after Christ. But you do have the promise of prosperity and blessings. But we forget that. All we're looking is the trial and tribulations. The children of Israel, however, didn't cooperate with the plan designed to benefit them. They complained and fought against God almost every step of the way. How much like Israel are we? God's got a plan for every person's life in here, and we're fighting against it. We're complaining, we're running the other way, we're doing everything but what God wants us to do. We talk about complaining. You think you're just venting, but it's indulging in a flawed perspective. Moses' responses to the complaints. He interceded for the people multiple times in prayer. After about the fifth complaint, every time they complained after that, God was ready to wipe them out. And if it wasn't for Aaron and Moses throwing themselves down face first before God and praying for them, Moses would have been the heritage that we would have had now instead of the Jewish people. But they prayed and God listened and God spared them. But in his frustration, he sinned. In Ed McNeil's frustration, he sinned. Moses didn't get to enter the promised land. I lost half of my body because of sin. This brings us to the second failure of Moses. This is the one probably most people have heard about and know more about than anything else, which is in Numbers 27 and 12. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses struck it. And this was an act of frustration against the people because they continued to be so difficult. Now let me tell you something. Moses just didn't tap it. He didn't give a little like that there. He was upset. He was angry. I'm sure he slammed that staff against the rock a couple times. And it says the water came out. God said what it would do it. But Moses' actions and words showed a little bit of pride and anger. Ed McNeil's act of frustration, taking little pills, it showed frustration and anger. What it showed was attitude. Just what Moses showed. You rebel, I got to strike the rock to get you water. It was attitude. What's your attitude this morning? Who do you think got the glory? Did God get the glory for the rock? Or did Moses? What did the people see? They saw an angry man that was frustrated, slamming his staff against a rock, and water came out, but they didn't see God's glory in it because Moses didn't do what he was supposed to do. They didn't see Ed McNeil's glory, so to speak. They saw his glory. God didn't, because all I had to do was say, God, you're right. My priorities are messed up. And God would have got the glory. But I chose to go a different route. Moses chose to go a different route. It cost him getting to go in, and it cost me this. Now, what's interesting about all this is that Moses continued to lead Israel humbly till his death, even after God passed judgment on him for his disobedience. Why? Because he was forgiven. Ed McNeil was forgiven. We talk about complaining. Let's talk about Ed McNeil again. I know how Moses felt hearing all the people complain. Right now at my work, it's a mess. We can't hire nobody. Everybody's complaining. And guess who's complaining the most? Me. I'm the one complaining the loudest and the most about it. And it's interesting because as I was preparing this message, you've heard pastors say this before, God always beats up the messenger the most before he gets to present it to the flock. God has tore me up about this. He revealed to me that if you quit complaining, you wouldn't have anything to say. You guys are laughing, but it's the truth. Why would that be? Well, because when you're complaining, you're not in oneness with the Lord. And so because of that, you don't have God's joy in your life. You don't have His peace in your life because you're, you know. Even my own wife, the sympathetic little lady that she is. I come home one night, I was all upset and I was really laying it on. And she finally looked at me, she said, Ed, she said, get over it. She said, somebody's got to do it. Moses was old. Man, he's coming up on the big age there, the number that's going to take him on home with the Lord. I'm getting old. I got that. But here's what I found out for all you young people. You're going to find out the older you get, the more you need Jesus. And that's a fact, because nothing gets any easier. Some people used to attend church here. Nancy's favorite saying was, you know, old people ain't, you know, see, getting old ain't for sissies. And that's exactly right. You need Jesus in your life more than ever. So right now, I say to you again, we are just like the people of Israel. Being honest with yourself. You see, nobody else knows except you and God. What kind of faith do you have this morning? You have the faith of Moses, committed to God's plan in your life, no matter what? Or is your a faith of excuses? Or a faith full of nothing but complaining with God about what's going on in your life? There are three lessons we learn from Moses and Israel in this message, and we should be wise to apply each of these in our own lives. First off, good intentions are not enough. Just because you got saved and you're serving Jesus, that ain't enough. Just getting salvation, don't get it done. Because most of us, when we first accept Jesus in our heart, we're still trying to do Jesus in our own strength and our own power instead of surrendering all to Him and let Him and use His strength and His power. We need to die to ourselves and let God have His way in our lives, but we just struggle with that. Second lesson is this here. God's calling is higher than any failure you've had in your life. I don't care what kind of failure you have, but His calling is higher. Are you still resistant? Are you pushing back against God's call on your life? Is it still all about you? When does God get to be first? No matter what has happened in the past, God will forgive you and He will use you today, tomorrow, and the day after if you are just honest with yourself and you're obedient to Him. And the third lesson is about complaining. Complaining is a spiritual problem, okay? You might think you're venting, but it's indulging in a flawed perspective. We are looking at situations from our worldly perspective, from my perspective, worldly perspective, instead of from a godly perspective. It's that still me attitude. We got these little trials and tribulations come up. Guess who jumps up to the front every time? Me. This is how I respond. No. God's supposed to be first. You're supposed to let God handle it. But no, we got to go through this process of me messing it up first, and then I turn it over to God. Instead of just going to God right from the get-go, right? To get past that, we need to pray and ask God for a renewed perspective in our life. We need to ask God for wisdom with His understanding, not ours. Because ours is messed up. And I close with this here. God works with each of us where we are and takes us to where He wants us to be. We just need to be willing to leave behind the excuses, the complaints, and trust that God will use our failures when they happen for His purpose in our lives and bring glory to His kingdom because of them. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.